For Kitchen Window, I'm Bonnie Wolf. Susie Chang is a New England-based freelance writer and reviews cookbooks for the Boston Globe. She has written a piece on cold soups for NPR's Kitchen Window Online. She joins me today. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Bonnie.
It is the height of the summer heat, so we're going to talk about cold soups today. Who thought up cold soups?
Oh, gosh, Bonnie, you always ask me these hard questions. I don't know. I like to think that it started in the Middle East because you read about, you know, these wonderful early Near Eastern cuisines where they're always having these wonderful cold melon soups and ices and things like that.
Are cold soups in all cultures or in many cultures?
I think in many. I don't seem to run across them as much in the Asian, Japanese, Korean, Chinese cultures.
And it's not just cultures that have cold climates, because Scandinavians eat a lot of fruit soup. Talk about fruit soups a little bit.
Well, fruit soups are delightful. They're the one cold soup you can make with almost absolutely no effort whatsoever. Basically, you put the fruit in the blender and you add some juice. Some people like OJ. I like to put cranberry juice because I like to use red fruit, and it really gives it this beautiful jewel-like color. And you just whiz it in the blender and strain it so that you get the little seeds out. If you're using raspberries or strawberries, that's essential. And every soup needs a little something to brighten the flavor, especially if it's a cold soup. We like to put something acid or sour or tart in it. So I like to put a little bit of lemon in my berry soups. And then I sweeten it with a little extra honey.
Hmm. Do you make melon soups?
I have in the past. I remember there was a wonderful gourmet cover about 20 years ago. And on the front of it, there was a cantaloupe soup and a honeydew soup. And they'd been poured together so that you had this, you know, yin-yang symbol in the soup plate. It was really entrancing.
Some fruits, like watermelon, has so much liquid in it, you probably don't have to add very much.
Right. And the thing about these fruit soups is that they're really not terribly satisfying. They don't really fill you up. They're the perfect soup for those incredibly sticky, humid, horrible days when the heat's just pouring off your skin. That's what fruit soups are for.
The vegetable soups that we see more often, gazpacho has certainly become iconic of a summer soup. What are some other cold vegetable soups?
Well, I like to make these very smooth cold vegetable soups. I love gazpacho as well. But the smooth vegetable soups are, for example, velvet corn soup. There's a lot of different versions out there, and I've included one in my article. And there's zucchini soup, which I've always adored from the first time I had it in a restaurant in the summer one year. And then there's tomato soup, which you can also have during the middle of the summer, and cucumber soup.
Are these cream-based soups?
They are not, and that's the beauty of them. They're soups in which you use the freshest summer vegetables you can get. And you do them very simply if you can, using just a few flavor enhancers like onion or garlic, something to just give it a little bit of a mellow undertone. And then you just simmer them as you might simmer them for a hot soup, but you do it early in the morning and you cool it down. And in the evening, you have this delicious, deeply flavorful, but totally cold soup.
So a summer tomato soup, what would be involved in making that?
Well, here's the thing. With all of these cold soups, I recommend you do them in the morning every time, because the vegetable soups all have some detail-oriented labor involved in the beginning. With the tomato soup, you want to get the really best, most concentrated flavor out of the tomato. You want to roast it or grill it. So I like to grill them and add in a little bit of red pepper, because that just seems to emphasize the flavor of the tomato. So I grill the tomato and the red pepper, and then I sweat some onions in a pan, and I really let those onions soften down and get juicy and sweet. And then I add in the tomato, then I blend it all together. And you really want to blend tomato in particular really, really well, because, you know, tomato has a tendency to have those little bits. And if you don't blend it really well and strain it really well, you'll taste those when it comes out.
Do you peel and seed the tomatoes?
Well, you do after you've grilled them.
Mm-hmm. You call for a blender. Can you do this in a food processor?
I really think you can't. I've tried many, many times. I've included in this story a list of blender tips at the end, and they are all from hard-won experience. I tried to use a food processor many times making soup, and what happens is that it's so wide, the bowl is so wide and so shallow, that the blade doesn't really get to hit every little bit of the soup. Whereas if you have a blender and you do it in small batches, the soup funnels down around the blade and it goes churning over and over and over again until the soup is just silky fine.
How long do the soups hold?
Oh, you know, I think that they can hold 2 or 3 days. I would re-blend them if you hold them longer than 3 hours.
All right, Susie, thank you so much.
You're so very welcome.